Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Great Peninsula, you've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The chair of the Senate Rules Committee, Democrat Dianne Feinstein of California, says Illinois Senate appointee Roland Burris should be sworn in. She says the governor, Rod Blagojevich, may be tainted by a corruption cloud, but he does have the right to name a successor to Barack Obama's Senate seat. Now, this could be pivotal, since it is the Rules Committee that decides whether Burris is qualified to serve, and Feinstein is saying he is. That's what Burris and his lawyer, Tim Wright, have been saying today.
We were not allowed to proceed to the floor for purposes of taking oath, all of which we think was improperly done, and it is against the law of this land.
The other empty seat in the Senate is Minnesota's. Republican Norm Coleman is fighting over that one, going to court to challenge Al Franken's super slim victory.
Let's take the time right now in this contested case to get it right. And then whoever is the winner, I believe, will be able to go forward with the trust and credibility of the people that no vote was counted more than once and that there were uniform standards applied in the counting of all votes.
That court fight could tie up the Minnesota Senate seat for weeks, even months. You've seen him on CNN and on CBS News for years. Now Dr. Sanjay Gupta has reportedly been offered the U.S. Surgeon General post in the Obama administration. Gupta is a neurosurgeon in Atlanta. Israeli troops go after Hamas militants through hundreds of underground tunnels who surface inside buildings, including, according to witnesses, a U.N. school where children and others huddled for shelter. Those witnesses reportedly say Hamas fired first, and Israeli return fire left 30 people dead, including some of the children in that school.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington, where President-elect Obama for the first time said something about the Gaza crisis. He said the loss of life there and in Israel is of deep concern to him.
Starting at the beginning of our administration, we are going to engage consistently in trying to resolve the conflicts that exist in the Middle East.
Guarded language, but this was not the total support of Israel we've heard from President Bush.
The man who has led the State Department's counterterror efforts for the last 18 months says he is impressed. Del Daley says Mr. Obama evidently plans a more aggressive approach to helping friendly nations fight terrorism more effectively than the Bush administration has. Apple says you'll be able to make copies and transfer music you get from iTunes now, though you could pay as much as 30 cents extra for some of those tunes.
A lot of people are going to cheer Apple's decision to drop copy protection. People like the ability to play their music on any device of their choice. And Amazon and other online music sellers have already made this move. So hooray to Apple for catching up.
That's CNET tech analyst Larry Magid. Wall Street, the Dow up about 62 points. The NASDAQ gained 24. Oil, $48.43 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hey, I'm Pete, owner of Pete's Precious Pets. Wife named it. Anyhow, I used to take care of all my finances on spreadsheets. The system kind of worked, but it took forever, made it hard to tend to the customers and the animals. Anyway, everyone I knew was using Intuit QuickBooks, so I gave it a try. And now I know why it's the best-selling small business financial software, because it tracks all my sales a lot easier and faster than I ever could. Which is good, because the parrots were learning a lot of words I can't repeat here.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
You know, I always appreciate it when someone goes the extra mile. And that's why I love those folks who make Clear Eyes eye drops. They put an extra moisturizing ingredient in every Clear Eyes product in the entire line, even their redness formula.
And I get up to 8 hours of soothing comfort. An extra moisturizer and up to 8 hours of soothing comfort. Thank you, Clear Eyes people, wherever you are. Use as directed.
There is a new treatment showing promise for Parkinson's patients.
A procedure that provides electrical stimulation to the brain gives Parkinson's disease patients an extra 4.5 hours of activity daily, says a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association headed by researcher Francis Weaver.
Patients who underwent deep brain stimulation experienced significant improvement in their motor function.
Richard Seeger opens his shed and easily pulls out a wheelbarrow, something he couldn't do before this procedure.
I'm definitely happy with the results.
For some, though, there can be serious side effects. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A 6-year-old boy in Virginia, little town of Wicomico Church, missed his school bus, but he was determined to get to school. So he took the keys to the family's Taurus and started driving to school. Didn't get very far before he wrecked the car. Bumps and bruises, fortunately. His mom was asleep in the house, and the police say the boy did forget to put on his seatbelt. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Are you a technology professional looking for a new job? Stop wasting time on general job sites, sifting through listings that are not relevant to you. Go to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Go to Dice.com to find tens of thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, system administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles, and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most...
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. We lead our program today with two powerful progressive voices for peace in the Middle East. Journalist Dar Jamail, who's done excellent reporting on Iraq and other conflict zones in the Middle East, has a powerful article up at truthout.org. We'll talk with him later this hour. And in just a moment, Anna Balzer, a Jewish-American woman who has a powerful book called Witness in Palestine and has been putting herself on the line, fighting for peace and for the rights of Palestinians. She will join us in just a moment from Damascus, Syria. But I wanted to run down for you some of the critical facts of Israel's incursion into Gaza. And this comes from reporter Sammy Habib, who was on our program last week when I was away, and he filed a report earlier today. The ground military operation started 72 hours ago. Below is a report for the 11th day of the Gaza War and the outcomes of the Israeli invasion. And here's what we have. The death toll currently stands at 620. Over 3,000 people have been injured, most of them civilians. And of the death toll, when you add it up, about 5/6, based on Sammy's reporting, of those who've been killed are civilians, women, children, old men. More than 1,000 children are among the wounded. 11 ambulances have been bombed. 4 vans of civil defense have been hit. 30 paramedics wounded, 7 killed. And he has a list of events just in the recent days of the military ground operation by Israeli forces, including bombings in the refugee camps with 5 killed, Israeli F-16s bombarded 2 adjacent houses for the Al-Sharafa family, and many people were killed. And the list goes on and on. And there are some anecdotes that I'll share with you during the course of this hour that are quite touching. Anna Baltzer's book is called Witness in Palestine, and you can get her latest information on her website at annainthemiddleeast.com. She's joining us by an internet connection from an internet cafe in Damascus, where it is late night after 1 o'clock in the morning. And Anna, I appreciate your work and also just your accommodation of the time shift here so that we could get you live on our program today. Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be on, Peter.
So, given what I just reported on the latest facts related to Gaza and this incursion by the Israeli military by air and ground, tell me what your thoughts are, and is there a route to a ceasefire and ultimately to peace from the current situation?
Well, you know, it's interesting reporting from here in Damascus. I'm actually hearing my voice play back to me. I hope you're able to hear me all right.
Yeah, you're coming through fine. Just cut right through the echo. I'm sorry.
Excellent. Okay. It's interesting reporting from here because the information we're receiving here, as I know, is very different from what we would be receiving, what I would be receiving were I watching television in the United States. So here with Syrians and Iraqi refugees and Palestinian refugees and all kinds of people, we're watching with horror as we see, you know, two more schools bombed today, children, mothers crying, et cetera. First of all, the reaction, the general reaction of mine and other people around me is that this is really just more of the same. It's not somehow, it's out of the ordinary in the extent that it's escalated, but the siege on Gaza has been going on for years now, and the idea that somehow there was a ceasefire that has now been broken, first of all, the myth that it was broken by Hamas first is wrong, but the idea that somehow there was peace and now suddenly there is war is just not true. Israel has besieged Gaza now for years and has occupied it, of course, for more than 40 years, and so what we see is simply an escalation of the reality. In terms of a way out, I mean, it's as easy for me to guess as it is for you. I can only speculate, but I do have a sense. One thing that's interesting to me is that since the ground invasion, Israel hasn't been releasing numbers of wounded or dead soldiers, and it's interesting because from reports we get from Palestinian sources and the video footage we're able to see here on stations like Al Jazeera, we actually see footage of Israeli soldiers being killed, but those reports are not being released. So one has the impression, at least I do, that Israel, for one reason or another, does not want to publicize whatever carnage is happening, perhaps to save face in front of their own population. I can only, again, speculate, but I do believe the timing of this invasion, it was no coincidence that it coincided with the last few weeks of the campaigning for Israelis, as well as a couple weeks before Bush will step down from office. So mm-hmm. The timing is important, too.
Anna Baltzer, you have traveled to the Palestinian territories, I guess, annually since 2003. Describe the situation as you know it in Gaza, and in particular what we've learned today, which is that Israeli forces took over a couple of what are considered high-rise apartment buildings. I don't think they're the kind of skyscrapers that we're used to in the United States. But still, they have brutally come into people's homes and displaced them. And often in doing so, they say, well, go over there. And I have one story that I'll share a little bit later. Where this family followed the instructions of the Israeli Defense Forces, relocated out of their own apartment, and then they were killed in the new location where they were told to go by the Israelis.
Yeah, I can say from my experience, I have not ever been to Gaza. I have not been allowed to go to Gaza, and I have hopes of going finally on one of the free Gaza boats. If for anyone out there who doesn't know about these incredible boats, that basically launched to go and break the siege of Gaza, to enter Gaza for the first time in 40 years without Israeli permission. Anyway, I hope to go with them then, but I have not actually been to Gaza, so my expertise really is about the situation for Palestinians in the West Bank, which is somewhat different but also similar. And what I've seen is, certainly in the West Bank, is an increasing demobilization of all life, prevention of any real building up of infrastructure, education, hospitals, etc. But I believe what's happening in Gaza is all the worse, in the sense that it really is something of an open-air prison where people are not allowed to even get their basic needs met. I did want to mention, because I have experienced, although not in Gaza, one major invasion, which was in Nablus in February of 2007. And just with regard to your anecdote about the house being taken over, the apartment building, that's precisely a strategy of the army, that when the army tanks rolled into Nablus in February, and we were there, first of all, they declared curfew, they surrounded the city, tens of thousands of people were unable to get food, get medical supplies, anything, and they would simply go into a house and take it over, and take the entire family, perhaps put them into one single room, perhaps handcuff all of the men in the building, and take it over, and that would become perhaps their headquarters, perhaps it would be the interrogation center, perhaps it would be the makeshift jail, whatever it might be. Perhaps they wouldn't even let the family stay in one particular room, and this is very common. In fact, even after Israeli troops pull out, there is always suspicion, because it has been the case in the past, there's always suspicion that soldiers are continuing to occupy houses. So it's a scary thing, not only obviously for the families who are pushed out and as I hear now, sometimes even killed, but really there's a sense of nowhere can one go and not be under the eyes of the Israeli military, or even worse, through the gun barrel of the Israeli military.
Yeah. Anna Baltzer is with us, reporting from Damascus, Syria, where it's after 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to take a break here and return. And I want to ask her to comment on the factionalism among Palestinians and the divide between Fatah and Hamas, which is taking many different forms under this Israeli assault. So we'll talk about that as we continue. If you have a question or a comment, we'll do our best to plug you in with Anna with our long, well, it's an internet overseas connection with a heavy echo for her. But we'll give it a try if you have a question or comment. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
House and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters. Friday, the Otters travel to Los Angeles, meeting with Cal State LA at 7:30. Then Saturday to Dominguez Hills.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 21 minutes into the hour. Anna Balzer has joined us live from Damascus, Syria. She is an American Jewish woman and an activist who has published a book called Witness in Palestine. When I met her this past summer and attended a talk that she gave here in the Bay Area, I was very impressed with her, and also she filled in some of my own personal gaps of ignorance, lack of knowledge that I had about some of the terms of the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories and the daily indignities visited on people who were just trying to live their lives. And Anna, I wanted to once again mention your website for people to check out your work and also sign up to receive your email dispatches. That is AnnaInTheMiddleEast.com, AnnaInTheMiddleEast.com. And I wanted to ask you to comment on the conflict between Palestinian groups, between Fatah and Hamas. And some of this, is, of course, is fueled by the United States and Israel, because by siding with Fatah, we not only put a black mark on that group, but it also becomes a rallying point for Hamas and others who are very suspicious of the U.S. support for Fatah.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to comment on there, of other reasons that it's problematic as well. A friend of mine compared it, and I think this is a good analogy, to a sort of prison riot in which if you imprison a population for long enough and you take away their rights and you take away their dignity, eventually they begin to fight each other. And that's basically what's happened. To make matters worse, when you have the occupying, oppressing power, you know, playing favorites here and there, maybe giving bribes, what have you, that certainly fuels the fire. So what we have is, first of all, Fatah was the longstanding power for Palestinians, and that was a threat to Israel, and they actually supported Hamas and favored Hamas for a while as an alternative to Fatah. And now, as we see, as Hamas gains strength now, is real in the United States, prefer FATA. And the reason they prefer it, in my opinion at least, is that FATA is willing to make compromises, oftentimes without getting anything in return. It's often pushed into a corner and doesn't see any other way to move forward than to make compromises without getting anything. And what that has meant over the past decades, really, is that even as one has the illusion that there is peace, for example, with the Oslo Peace Accords, in fact, what it has meant is the normalization, the legalization, essentially, of Israel's continued occupation. And the facts on the ground continue to work in Israel's favor with the establishment of more and more settlements, checkpoints, roadblocks, etc. So Hamas has taken a different stance, essentially saying we're not going to give anything without getting anything in return. We will do a ceasefire, but you have to do a ceasefire too. We will lay down our weapons. And Israel and the U.S. don't like that. Israel and the U.S. Prefer the status quo in terms of at least having a monopoly on the power in the region militarily. So we see this kind of clash, but really to me what it is about is about the entire population being strangled and sort of scrambling to figure out what the best way is, crawling out of the hole. But it's actually oftentimes hard for me to even comment on it because I don't know what my role is as a non-Palestinian, as an international, to speculate on sort of which faction or another I might think is doing a good job, because it's difficult as an outsider to even really understand a lot of these complex relations.
I share that, and I try to refrain from offering comments that I would call judgmental. But I do feel pain to see these Palestinian groups fighting each other as at least Hamas is taking on this military assault from Israel. And it cannot lead to a healthy result. And my fear is that the infighting will cause scores to be settled under the cloud or the dust and confusion of this Israeli military action.
Absolutely. I was just in the West Bank for the past few weeks, and what I felt on the ground more than I have ever felt is a sense of hopelessness and desperation, the sense of Palestinians saying, how can we fight Israel? We can't even unify ourselves. And it is very, very upsetting. I certainly agree, Peter. I think a little bit of historic information about Hamas is important to have here. One of which is that Hamas itself actually has many times offered a ceasefire. And these are things that aren't generally shared. Fatah as well did, but as I said, gave it away without getting anything in return. There was something I wanted to say about the two of them. Perhaps we can go on and I'll remember it.
Okay. The other thing I would point out is that Israel has used some of the same tactics on the Palestinians that the Bush administration attempted to use on Iran, which is to demand preconditions. In other words, givebacks or cave-ins by the weakened party before the stronger party would agree to any kind of negotiations or even dialogue.
Absolutely. And not only are they asking the conditions, but they're asking precisely the conditions that Israel would never adhere to. I mean, the three conditions placed upon Hamas, the three conditions are this. First of all, that they lay down their weapons. Secondly, that they recognize previous agreements. And thirdly, that they recognize the other party's right to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And these seem very reasonable, except when we think of the fact that they're never applied to Israel, that Israel's never asked to meet any of these conditions for us to continue sending tens of millions of dollars per day. And if you count up not only the aid, but also the gifts, the loans, the spare parts, what amounts to between $3 and $10 billion a year. So that's right. Israel has never asked to lay down its weapons. Israel has never held to previous agreements. For example, that.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. In New York, a judge is considering whether to jail Bernie Madoff. We know him now as the Pons. After he sent gifts to his friends and relatives worth about $1 million. They included $25 cufflinks, a $200 pair of mittens, and heirlooms, which the jilted investors who lost $50 billion investing with him think belongs to them. Don't worry, his yachts and mansions remain intact, and I'm sure they'll fetch a pretty penny in this economy. Meantime, Congress was trying to find out how Madoff managed to lose $50 billion under the very noses of government regulators. Well, let's see, $50 billion. I believe you'd have to conclude that regulators weren't looking very hard, or there were some very compelling games on their workstations. More after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the total transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
In the House Financial Services Committee, senior Republican Spencer Backus observed that Ponzi schemes like Bernie Madoff's are really bad for business.
The Madoff affair and concern that other similar frauds lurk over the horizon or under the surface threaten to further undermine investor confidence.
But he was reluctant to pass more regulations, saying that the problem is not necessarily a lack of enforcement tools, but a failure to use them. Investors might not appreciate the subtle distinction. For example, Arnold Sinkin of Boynton Beach, Florida, who lost his life savings.
With all the red flags going up, you tell me how this all happened.
Well, it wasn't a lack of tools, Mr. Sinkin, just a failure to use them. For example, one of the tools the federal government has is the SIPC to protect investors when a brokerage firm fails. The only problem there is that Madoff lost $50 billion, and the SIPC has in its account, let's see here, $1.6 billion. Another case of having all the tools you need, it just turns out that they're really tiny tools. Representative Gary Ackerman of New York plans to find out who's in charge of those tools.
I want to tell that person or those people whose job it is that they suck at it.
The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Still to come on the Peter B. Collins Show today, next hour, we're going to hear a different view. One of our listeners, Billy Sunshine, feels that Israel's being slighted in our coverage. We'll let him offer some balance from his point of view. Also on today's show, Dan Weiss from the Center for American Progress will talk with us about the economy and the various stimuli being discussed in Washington. John Eisenberg, the attorney who represents an Islamic charity group that was wiretapped illegally, Well, the wiretap suit has a new lease on life. He'll be joining us in our third hour at the beginning of the program, beginning of that hour, to talk about it. And Ray McGovern, a frequent contributor to our program who served over 25 years at the Central Intelligence Agency, will comment on the nomination of Leon Panetta, one of the great leaders of California's Central Coast, to be the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Our music of the moment from Neil Young. It's called Living with War. And as we see, the reports continue to arrive from Gaza. As I mentioned, in the first half hour of the program, the death toll of civilians increased by 50. And this report came in from one of my sources who cites a doctor at the Shifa Hospital. 41 children were killed today when the school in Jabalia was bombed. And this just adds to the carnage on the ground there as Israel continues what started as an aerial assault and is now, we're about 4 days into the ground effort. Dar Jamail is an independent journalist who has reported from the Middle East on many occasions from many sites. His most recent book is Beyond the Green Zone, Dispatches from an Unembedded Journalist in Occupied Iraq. He has a new book coming out in the spring, and Dar has published a powerful piece, commentary that's up the lead story at truthout.org today, and I recommend that you read it. Dar, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Peter. Always good to be with you.
We spent the first half hour talking to Anna Baltzer. She's an American Jew who is active on behalf of Palestinians and trying to spread understanding about their plight. She wrote a book called Witness in Palestine, and she joined us from Damascus in the first half hour. And I alluded to an anecdote that is in a New York Times dispatch today, and I wanted to lead our discussion with this. The Samouni family knew they were in danger. They'd been calling the Red Cross for 2 days, begging to be taken out of Zaytoun, a poor area in eastern Gaza City considered a stronghold of Hamas. No rescuers came. Instead, Israeli soldiers entered their building late Sunday night and told them to evacuate to another building, and they did. But at 6 a.m. Monday, when a missile fired by an Israeli warplane struck the relative's house in which they had taken shelter, there was nowhere to run. 11 members of the extended Samouni family were killed and 26 wounded, and among them, 5 children aged 4 and under. And Dar, you led your commentary piece with a story that the very first person killed when Israel began its ground action last Saturday was a Palestinian child. And, you know, some people may believe that these stories are being used to try to wring emotional responses out of people. I believe that it's simply honest reporting about the true cost of this military incursion by Israel. Your thoughts?
Well, that's really the essence of the piece that I wrote that was posted on Truth Out today, where really this is what war looks like when... You know, there are no surgical strikes. There is no policy that's going to guarantee that no civilians are going to be killed either by Hamas or by the Israeli military. And that this is what happens, and this is why this sort of thing needs to be prevented at all costs, no matter what. This should not even be an option on the table, because when war starts, this is what happens. Children get killed. Families get killed. Horrible, horrible things happen. That said, I want to be real clear, because I've reported on Israeli military in action as well when I was in Lebanon during the war there during the summer of 2006. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the stories that you just said, that you just talked about, you know, leading this broadcast or this section of your broadcast with the fact that 41 kids were killed today when Israel shelled a UN school. Well, this is what I saw time and time again in Lebanon, when literally the Israeli military would fly over villages, leaflet them, say, leave, we're going to be attacking here soon to hit Hezbollah positions. And then when people would leave in their cars, literally flying white flags, usually pillowcases tied to sticks out the windows, they would be hit with missiles. And I reported on this myself. They would be hit with missiles. They would be hit with white phosphorus. The Israelis are using white phosphorus in Gaza now. Mm-hmm. They would be hit with cluster bombs. They're using cluster bombs in Gaza. They bombed a shelter in Khana, just like the school being used as a shelter today in Gaza. They bombed a shelter in Khana, as they did in 96 when they bombed a UN compound in Khana and killed over 100 people. This is standard operating procedure for them. This is not by biased. This is not, emotionally charged. This is simply reporting on exactly how their military is operating. So this whole purity of arms that they claim to have, I think, is absolutely bogus when we simply look at how they carry out their operations on the ground.
And, Dar, one of the arguments coming from the Israeli side and some American supporters are this is inevitable because you have guerrilla fighters who are embedded in civilian zones. And while it's true that Hamas is not a uniform military that has parade grounds and, the kind of installations that are clearly military and not related to any kind of civilian use, Israel knows this going in. And as they attempt to eradicate, and my view is that they do want to eviscerate Hamas as much as they possibly can during this current incursion, it still is inexcusable because it's a known fact that Hamas is embedded in residential areas, in, you know, among civilian population. And part of the reason is that they're under this incredible occupation that requires them to use stealth in order to defend themselves, or if they wish, and I certainly don't support attacks on Israel, particularly on civilian targets, but it is understandable that they do end up using mosques or other public buildings as gathering points or storage points, and so it does create real problems as Israel attempts a military solution in a civilian area.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the reality is, and let's be very clear, if Hamas had U.S.-provided F-16s and cluster bombs and tanks, I'm absolutely sure they'd be using those against the Israelis, along with their laser sightings and their night vision goggles and such. But no, you're looking at a resistance movement that basically has the most inaccurate rockets on the planet and a bunch of AK-47 machine guns. And, you know, this is what you have. There's nothing there. I mean, Gaza is a 1.5 million populated area, over half of which are under 17 years of age. It's basically an open-air prison, and this kind of ragtag resistance movement is what's left, and it's going up against the fourth most powerful military on the planet, and it's doing what it can. And the reality is that, it's kind of a bogus argument of the Israeli side to say, well, you know, it's Hamas's fault that there's civilian casualties because they're operating amongst them. Well, you know, they're not allowed to leave Gaza. I mean, thanks to collaborating governments in Egypt and of course the Israeli government, they're literally not allowed to go anywhere outside of Gaza. They're stuck there amongst all these people. But let's be very, very clear when we talk about this situation, because there's been a lot of misinformation about, well, Hamas has started this. It's Hamas's aggression. It's the rockets, and that's why this is all taking place. Let's be very clear that it was Israel that broke the six-month truce with Hamas back on the day of the U.S. presidential election. So they broke it long before this even started. And actually, in Haaretz, the largest English paper in Israel, on December 27th, there was a story by a journalist named Barak Ravid, and he talked about the fact that the Israeli Air Force had already been planning for months. This was the day this whole thing started, right now. The Israeli Air Force specifically has been planning these airstrikes and this operation for several months in advance. So this is a systematic liquidation of the Palestinian people. There is no peace plan because there is no plan for a two-state solution. The whole goal of this operation is to completely wipe out whatever resistance might be there and to completely subjugate the Palestinian people. And that's when we draw the parallels between what the founders of this country did to the Native American Indians and what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians. There really is no difference.
Dar, in the press accounts, people speaking on behalf of Hamas have made statements saying, the Israelis will enter Gaza on their feet and leave in caskets. And I'm wondering to what extent these threats are hot air and to what extent they may have laid some very serious traps and drawn Israeli forces in on the ground. And there could be a very deadly exchange in the next few minutes or the next few days if Hamas has prepared and has laid the kind of traps that they're suggesting.
Well, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. But again, going back to what I said before, Hamas is not Hezbollah. I mean, Hezbollah, we had literally 3,000 well-trained, disciplined fighters that fought the Israeli military to a standstill back in southern Lebanon in 2006. Well, that is not Hamas. I mean, like I said, these are ill-equipped, ill-trained, a ragtag resistance group, and certainly there's going to be some Israeli military casualties because they are going into basically urban warfare, and that works to the advantage of the Hamas fighters that are there. But again, we're looking at the most, one of the most powerful militaries on the planet with unlimited U.S. backing. They have the most sophisticated weapons on the planet, and they're going into this area backed by F-16s, by artillery, by Navy gunboats, by satellite tracking systems. So I really would be surprised if we saw Israeli casualties anywhere along the lines of what we saw when they went into southern Lebanon in 2006, when we saw about 150 soldiers killed, most of them in the last 48 hours of that whole operation, when Hezbollah was basically doing mopping up operations. Hamas simply does not have that capability. So I'd be really, really very surprised if we saw much casualties on the Israeli military side.
We're talking with journalist Dar Jamail. You can visit his website. It's easy, D-A-H-R, dar.org, and you can read his latest dispatches and connect up with other information about him, too. We're joined by Alan calling from Boston, listening on AM 1510. Welcome, Alan. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thank you very much for taking the call, and I guess I should preface what I'm going to say with the fact that I don't support the Israeli government, I don't support its actions, I don't believe that there's really any kind of a military solution to this problem. That being said, the last two guests, I didn't hear the entire first guest, the woman, I'm sorry, I don't know her name.
Anna Balzer.
It seems to me that it's simplistic is the word that jumps to mind. Both your guests, and I don't want to be insulting. I don't mean to be insulting anybody, but it sounds like the Bush administration. You know, there's good, there's bad, there's good, there's evil, there's black, there's white, and that's not the situation there, as far as I can see. It's an extremely complicated situation.
I think on that much we agree, Alan. Now, where do you feel that, and why don't you aim it at me rather than my guess, where do you feel that the information or the views that you're hearing is black and white like the Bush administration?
Well, Hamas has gotten exactly what they wanted in this. The same way Ariel Sharon got exactly what he wanted when he went to the Muslim holy site, I forget what it was, several years ago, sparked another infantata and got himself elected prime minister. That's what he wanted. That's what he got. This is what Hamas wants. This is what they've got. Israel is played right into their hands. The country there, the Gaza Strip, is being strangled by Israel, it's being strangled by ineptitude on the Palestinian part, it's being strangled. Hamas is in charge there. Eventually, people are going to say, hey, we're no better off than we were 10 years ago before Hamas came over, it's time to move them on out. They're not relevant. They wouldn't be relevant. Now they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're relevant because they stuck a stick into the beast, and the beast reacted just the way they hoped they would.
Well, Alan, let me just reprise an exchange I had with Anna Balzer about half an hour ago, where we both agreed that we are not in a position to judge these two different Palestinian factions, but we do deplore that they are fighting one against the other. And I don't consider that black and white, and,
well,
you know, I do take umbrage at being compared to the Bush administration.
Right. Well, what Palestinian factions are you speaking of? I heard you say that.
Hamas and Fatah.
Are you talking about Hamas and Israel?
No, Hamas and Fatah. That's what I was referring to.
Hamas and Fatah, right. Well, you know, it's ludicrous that they should be fighting each other, but again, it's perfectly understandable.
All right, Alan, hold on. I want to give Dar an opportunity to respond as well.
Yep.
Dar, your comment?
Sure.
Well, saying it's perfectly understandable that the two Palestinian factions are fighting each other is actually an extremely accurate thing to say when we consider the fact that both the U.S. and Israel has backed Fatah from the beginning. We have Hamas, which was democratically elected by the people of Palestine in early 2005, and from that second that happened onwards, in a completely legitimate internationally overseen election. From the second that happened onward, we've had U.S. and Israeli backing to try to overthrow them, to usurp their power, to install Fatah instead. And even as we speak, this is why we have Mahmoud Abbas as being the go-to guy for the Americans and the Israelis. Of course, he's not in Palestine. Last I saw, he's in Cairo. But they talk with him, and they won't even talk or negotiate with Hamas. But let's be very clear. Hamas, long before this recent outbreak of violence started, back in November, they had said, look, we'll go with the 67 borders. We're willing to settle right now. Let's have a two-state solution. We want peace. But from the very beginning, this has been very, very clear. There's been an Israeli policy that Hamas is going to be taken out, regardless of the fact that they were democratically elected. And this is the problem in the Middle East. When various governments or peoples elect people that the U.S. government does not want in power, then they're not going to stay. The same thing happened in Iraq. We have the elections there also in January 2005, and the parliament voted in. As a result of the elections, the parliament voted in as Prime Minister Jafari, and he wasn't exactly towing the U.S.-UK line, so he was pushed out. And who was inserted? It was Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. No democratic process involved in that whatsoever. And we're seeing the same thing happen, albeit in an extremely violent way, right now in Palestine. This is a result where these Hamas has come into power. They've managed to hold on to that power despite U.S. and Israeli attempts to literally arm, fund, and back Fatah. There's been an attempted coup against Hamas that failed. And now we're looking at the end game where they're literally using the last resort, which is the military, which is when politics and these other covert operations fail. Then you have to go to the brute force of using the military to get the job done. And that's what we're seeing. And I think that we will see as a result of this, at least temporarily, Hamas will be completely removed, completely eviscerated out of Gaza. But as a direct result, the tragedy is, alongside all the bloodshed on both sides right now, is that in the long run, we will have a deeper hatred and animosity on both sides in future generations to come.
All right. I got to run to a break, Alan. I appreciate your call. You're welcome to call back in the next hour when Billy Sunshine is going to take a position somewhere along yours. And I appreciate the dialogue, and my lines are always open for you.
Thank you.
All right, Alan. Thank you very much. We'll continue with Dar Jamil in just a moment. You can join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. from Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
So we're now live in Boston on AM 1510, and that makes this party coast to coast. And you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll get another perspective, as I mentioned. Billy Sunshine, a regular contributor to our program, will talk with us in the next half hour, and we'll look forward to that. Dar Jamail continues with us. His website, again, dahrdar.org, and his book is out in paperback, Beyond the Green Zone, and Dar's got to push him for the self-promotion thing. Your new book due out in the spring is called?
It's called Military Resistors, Soldiers Who Refuse to Fight in Iraq.
Okay, and when is that due at the bookstores?
Well, it's gotten a little bit hazy since I'm now inserting a trip back into Baghdad in a couple of weeks, Peter. It was scheduled for April, but it might be pushed back a few months now. We'll just have to wait and see.
All right. Well, keep us posted on your travel plans. Now, Dar, I wanted to get you to comment on what we touched on a little bit with the caller, Alan, and that is this painful split between Hamas and Fatah, which, you know, occurs kind of on the natural, but is also exacerbated by the way the U.S. and Israel play favorites and pull their punches. And we've seen reports that in the West Bank that the Fatah-led Palestinian Defense Force has been blocking people who want to demonstrate in support of their Palestinian brothers in Gaza, because that would send a message that they're pro-Hamas. And so there are various layers of this conflict, and they're not all between Israel and Palestinians.
That's true. You know, and again, the main schism is between Fatah and Hamas, and it's very well documented. Actually, several months ago, I have several colleagues, one right there in the Bay Area at KPFA, Norbert Friedman, who have done really great job at unveiling the fact that the U.S. has poured tens of millions of dollars of arms and financial support into Fatah. They literally did help them try to stage a violent coup that failed because Hamas basically outmaneuvered them on the ground militarily. And that backing has continued, and it continues to this day, which is why rather than talking and trying to negotiate with leaders of Hamas, we have the U.S. and Israel talking and negotiating with someone like Mahmoud Abbas, despite the fact that in a democratic election, the majority of the people of Palestine did not choose him and his party. They chose Hamas.
Yeah. So, Dar, as you see this, nobody wants to make any predictions, but it appears that Israel is going to try to push this as far as they can, probably up until Obama is inaugurated. And then I imagine on a PR basis, they'll kind of, you know, dial back. And we could have a situation like Lebanon, where the invincibility of Israeli forces is exposed as a canard, or we could have a very brutal victory by Israel in a short period of time.
Well, I think it's going to be the latter, Peter, because there's really not much resistance. I mean, Hamas, you know, the quote you read earlier, this kind of tough talk and chest beating comes out from all sides in all wars. And, you know, they kind of have to do that for propaganda. But the reality is, I think Israel's going to see this all the way to the end. I think it's going to keep getting worse until it does finally end. Who knows how long it's going to continue. But let's be very clear. It was last February 29th. When Israeli Deputy Defense Minister Matan Vilmai threatened a Holocaust on Gaza, and you probably remember that.
Yeah, I do.
He said that, and then, of course, all the media and all the governments, particularly that in Israel, went into overdrive for the next 24 hours trying to discount the fact that he threatened a Holocaust in Gaza.
Dar, I'm out of time. Thank you very much. Dar Jamail on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay tuned for more.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does your...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Mr. Burris goes to Washington.
I presented my credentials to the Secretary of the Senate.
But he doesn't get in the door. Barack Obama breaks his silence on the Mideast crisis.
The loss of civilian life in Gaza and in Israel is a source of deep concern to me.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Senate will come to order.
Vice President Dick Cheney, in his capacity as President of the Senate, convened today's ceremonial session in which 98 members took the oath of office. Absentees included the man appointed to finish Barack Obama's term. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Roland Burris knew he wouldn't get sworn in with the other senators, but showed up anyway.
My name is Roland Burris, the junior senator from the state of Illinois.
Not according to Senate Leader Harry Reid, who cited paperwork problems for now.
Mr. Burris takes possession of valid credentials. The Senate will proceed in a manner that is respectful to Mr. Burris while ensuring that there's no cloud of doubt over the appointment to fill this seat.
The cloud, because before Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich chose him, he allegedly was trying to get money and favors for the seat. Also left out in the cold, Democrat Al Franken, who won a recount in Minnesota, but his narrow margin is being contested in court by Republican Norm Coleman. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
CBS News has learned that Senate Democrats might allow Burris to be seated if Governor Blagojevich is impeached. As for Norm Coleman, Majority Leader Reid suggested today that he should gracefully concede, but Coleman told supporters in St. Paul that he'll keep fighting.
This race will be determined by Minnesota voters, not by Harry Reid.
In the House, Speaker Nancy Pelosi was sworn in for another term and called for quick passage of an economic stimulus package.
We cannot afford to wait. Our nation needs action, and we need action now.
But Republican Leader John Boehner wants to proceed with caution.
We need to take responsible action together to help put our economy back on a path toward prosperity.
Now this.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized the contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code MONEY to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, MONEY, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code MONEY. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Ever since Israel launched its assault on Gaza, Barack Obama has avoided comments, saying we have only one president at a time. But today he said he's deeply concerned about the civilian casualties and will have more to say once he takes office.
Starting at the beginning of our administration, we are going to engage effectively and consistently in trying to resolve the conflicts that exist in the Middle East.
The situation deteriorated today when Israeli shells hit a UN school where Palestinians had taken shelter, killing at least 30 people. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
The Israeli army says Hamas gunmen fired mortars at Israeli forces from the UN school and soldiers returned fire. The army says there were multiple explosions at the school, indicating that weapons were stored there. Israel says Hamas is using civilians as human shields.
Israel has agreed to establish a humanitarian corridor that would allow the people of Gaza to get food and medicine. At the UN, diplomats are discussing a ceasefire proposal from France and Egypt endorsed by the Bush administration. CBS News confirms that Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who reports on health for CNN and CBS News, has an offer to become Surgeon General in the Obama administration. Another round of discouraging economic reports today. In November, pending home sales fell to the lowest level in 8 years, in the 8 years since the index was created, and factory orders fell for the fourth month in a row. Diane Swack is chief economist at Mesirow Financial.
The fourth quarter suffered a very large blow in reaction to the credit crisis. We're feeling the aftershocks of that now, and it looks like the aftershocks will be with us for some time to come.
The stock market took it in stride. The Dow climbed back above 9,000 with a gain of 62 points. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, I'm Pete, owner of Pete's Precious Pets. Wife named it. Anyhow, I used to take care of all my finances on spreadsheets. The system kind of worked, but it took forever, made it hard to tend to the customers and the animals. Anyway, everyone I knew was using Intuit QuickBooks, so I gave it a try. And now I know why it's the best-selling small business financial software, because it tracks all my sales a lot easier and faster than I ever could. Which is good, because the parrots were learning a lot of words I can't repeat here.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
You know, I always appreciate it when someone goes the extra mile. And that's why I love those folks who make Clear Eyes eye drops. They put an extra moisturizing ingredient in every Clear Eyes product in the entire line, even their redness formula. And I get up to 8 hours of soothing comfort. An extra moisturizer and up to 8 hours of soothing comfort? Thank you, Clear Eyes people, wherever you are. Use as directed.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up a little later, John Eisenberg, an attorney here in California, talks about the revival of a lawsuit that could expose the extent of the illegal wiretapping of Americans' telephones. Also on the way, Dan Weiss later this hour from the Center for American Progress. We'll talk about the various stimuli proposals in Washington. And before the end of the show tonight, Ray McGovern, a frequent contributor to our program, a sharp critic of the excesses of the Central Intelligence Agency and other parts of that community under the Bush administration. He'll be joining us to talk about his reaction to the nomination of Leon Panetta, one of the great leaders of California's Central Coast, as the new CIA director. And it pissed off Dianne Feinstein, so that made me happy. So last hour, you heard two voices, clearly pro-Palestinian in many respects, regarding the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza right now. And it has provoked a phone call from a listener and Billy Sunshine, who's a guy I love and who is a frequent caller to this program, and a guy whose opinion is only really outsized by his voice, has agreed to join us because he takes exception to some of the commentary that he's been hearing. Billy, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk with you. I heard you last week on with Ron Noens, and you got a lot into 30 seconds.
I tell you, it's not easy, is it?
So we'll see what you can do with...
you called my bluff.
A little less than half an hour, yeah.
Yeah, you called my bluff because I called up to your call screener.
That's Nick.
And Nick was kind enough to listen to me rant at him.
And the rant began with, so, Nick, I haven't heard all the hours, Peter B., the last few weeks. When the rockets were falling on Israel, how many shows did Peter have about it?
The answer,
so, Peter, answer that.
I'll answer it. The answer is zero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'll start.
Okay, Billy, how many rockets fell on Israel that caused a casualty?
Well, I don't know. Of the few hundred that came over, I imagine 20.
Okay.
Or 100. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's less than 5. Okay, these are like bottle rockets, and certainly they can be lethal.
I don't, see, here's where the part where it gets hairy. I don't care that it was only 5 rockets that were successful. How many were shot?
Well, my point is proportionality, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're a great place to start.
And
I love that.
It starts with the occupation, all right?
Seriously, you really want to talk about proportionality?
Yeah.
Are you a crazy person?
Well, apparently.
Well, and what I mean by that is, and it's serious, again, the good news is I don't represent anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only talking as one crazy Jew, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So, first of all, proportionality, are you, war is hell, war sucks, and if I can't be exactly proportional, and I can't, so now the question is, do I err on the side of not enough, less than you hit me, hit you back less hard when you attack me, or should I hit you back harder? And then it's a question of degree. So first of all, how about you and I agree no such thing as proportionality? No?
Well, I have to invoke it in a broad way, Billy, because we're now up to almost 700 Palestinians killed, and to my knowledge, while we did hear Dar say that the Israelis are not releasing information about their soldiers who are killed or wounded right now, based on the published accounts, we are still at a 5-to-1 or 6-to-1 ratio.
Absolutely, a lot less than
wait.
The other side.
No, it's 500-to-1 or 600-to-1.
But, what I hear people in the media talking about is, gee, isn't it a pity the Palestinians don't have weapons as good as the Israelis? Not that, gee, isn't it a pity the Palestinians aren't smart enough not to keep trying through violence to win this argument?
I haven't heard anybody say that first remark in the media. I don't know anybody who's saying, wouldn't it be great?
I just heard it on your show literally an hour ago.
No.
You were... Somebody was talking about the fact that, well, gee, you know, the Israelis have all these great weapons and the Palestinians don't.
Well, Dar, yeah, he said that if the Palestinians had F-16s, that it would be a very different conflict.
That's right. It would have been over a lot sooner, I would imagine.
Well, but see, those are kind of fanciful hypotheticals because
exactly.
We know that the Palestinians have essentially been locked down for years. And while they do smuggle in these rocket parts and other munitions, there's no doubt that they do that, you have to ask yourself, what would you do if you were under the thumb of an occupying force? Would you simply submit and say, well, I'm going to be passive and hope for the best, or would you fight?
I'd like to think that I'd fight for a while, and then when fighting didn't work, I'd say to them, let's try to find a political solution. Here's the thing. I'm not being completely rational right now.
Okay.
Right? I am crazy. I'll admit that. Now, the fact that y'all made me crazy, we can look at that. You know? Because I would suggest to you that if every time we try to have a discussion, you say, no, you need to be dead. No, we can't work this out. You need to be dead. So what you're saying to me is you don't like my timing of when I decide to defend myself or how I defend myself. You know, the fact is that, I don't know, was it, people don't like us to talk about the Holocaust, like, you know, hey, we get over it already. I'll get over it when I've killed 5 million of you. That's when I'll get over it. I'll get over it when people get over it. You see, I live in a world where people don't raise a voice when Jews die, but if Jews kill, it's a problem.
Well, I don't agree with you because I believe that our media discounts the value of Arab lives. We've certainly seen it in Iraq, and I believe it's true relative to Palestine.
You're right.
And we have a situation, Billy, where Israel launched the war against Lebanon over 2 soldiers, and they killed thousands of civilians in the process.
Again, I don't understand what's wrong with that. You know, stop threatening me. Stop attacking me. By the way, you'll notice that Lebanon hasn't been a problem since. There's no rockets coming from Lebanon. They're coming from Gaza. You see what I mean?
Well, I see part of it. But,
here's the thing.
But Billy, wait, I need to go back to a couple of points you made a minute ago. One is about this whole crucial issue of Israel's right to exist and whether Palestinian leaders will acknowledge that and agree to it. And I do understand how important a point it is to Israel, and I also understand both the pride and the practicality of the Palestinians who say, well, we might be able to do that at the negotiating table, but for you to demand that removes any moral authority we have over our own people in the face of this occupation.
Your demand is that I die, or somehow I give you some sort of crazy right of return where you get some house back, but we don't get to go back to Europe and have our houses.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Hold on.
It's
see,
ridiculous.
No,
where do you
Billy,
want to start the argument?
Billy,
I don't want to start the argument. I want to end the argument.
Okay, I'll agree with you there. But
yeah.
I'm sympathetic to the right of return. I've met Palestinian families, a grandmother who still has the key to the house that she was forced to exit in 1948. How would you feel if you were required to leave your house by authorities, you know, that came in from the outside because they want to make room for people who aren't like you?
I'd be insane over it.
Yeah, you would. And so I don't think the right of return is something that, and just like reparations for slavery, I don't. Hold on, Billy, let me finish.
You aren't extended. Okay.
Let me finish here, okay? Just like I don't think that we can repair the damage of slavery that occurred hundreds of years ago in the United States, I don't think there is a practical way for that Arab woman, her name is Araj, and she lives in Detroit. I don't believe that she will or should go back to that particular piece of property. It's symbolic. And the issue is that the Palestinians need to be respected as the not necessarily the original, but they were the incumbent residents of that area when the State of Israel was created. Now, I support the State of Israel. I support its right to exist. At the same time, I deplore the occupation, and I believe that it is untenable in the long term, that it undermines whatever moral value there is to the creation of a State of Israel and as a response to the Holocaust.
I agree with you.
And that you know, we need to use the levers that we have to call on Israel to reduce the civilian carnage. And I realize how difficult that is. But we have to look that the original irritant here that the Palestinians are responding to is the occupation.
Well, hang on. If you want to look at the original irritant, then let's go back to those ridiculous, sick Israelis who call themselves settlers, who say, God gave us this land, and that's why we say Happy Pesach. They're crazy. And so are you if you want to go back to the beginning.
Well,
the beginning.
And you're right about that, Billy. This is one of the biggest problems we have whenever we discuss this, is that I will start the conversation at a certain point, like with the occupation,
yeah,
and then that'll be trumped by going back to the Holocaust.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's not a successful way for us to argue.
But I do agree with you that I think we have a common goal. Now, we've been talking here and lit up the phones, and Tara is back. Tara was holding for a long time,
right,
and she's on 4. Tara in Eureka, go right ahead. You're up.
Hi. First of all, the Arabs were told if they left Israel that the Arabs would drive the Jews into the city, into the sea, and then they could have all of Israel, number one. Number two, the size of Israel is smaller than Los Angeles County. Three, all of the Arabs surrounding Israel have concentration camps where the Palestinians are also. Yet nobody ever talks about that's what's going on there.
Well, Tara, hold on. Tara, it's my show, okay? I get to talk once in a while. I want to acknowledge your point that Egypt in particular is a grisly dictatorship supported by the United States, and we pay them the same $3 billion a year that we do to Israel, and it's ugly. And I just want to concede your point there. I do not believe that Arabs or Palestinians are perfect, And I am attempting to find a middle ground and to extract the United States from being the extra weight on the hammer of Israel. And I believe that we need to move to a position of an honest broker and not be either turning
an honest broker when the Palestinians have said that they will never stop firing on the Jews, and they never stopped during the ceasefire. And Israel, if you listen to either Sirius or whatever the HM, whatever the other radio station is, Israel is on. Mm-hmm. Every day you can hear how many missiles are coming across. And because they don't hit doesn't mean they put an entire country in a state of shock.
All right, Tara, I hear your point. I'm late for a break here, and I'm not trying to duck your comments, but I appreciate your passion. The only thing I would ask for is that we strive to reduce the casualties among civilians. And it's
absolutely
not easy because
if
Gaza
wants peace. All the Arabs have to say is we will stop firing rockets.
Well, that's not true.
Yes, it is. I'll bet you a nickel.
I wish it were that simple. Thank you very much, Tara. We're going to take a break and return. Billy, stay with us. We got more callers who want to talk about it. We've stirred something up here, and we will continue with it. 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to join me, that's toll-free, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Yeah, years ago I stopped in town to visit my parents, and I came in unannounced. My parents are retired. I had these like ideas that, you know, they would be like sort of, I don't know where I got this idea. They're wonderful folks. They're just good old-fashioned World War II blue-collar folks. And I just had this idea that maybe when my dad retired like a decade ago, they would become some sort of crazy NPR parents, you know, and, you know, get like a Fromers or Let's Go Nepal book and go hiking and bird watching and whatnot. And it didn't quite turn out that way. I came back from a gig in Sacramento, and I passed through an announced one afternoon, and they were sitting there on the couch eating Cheetos and watching Mannix reruns. And I just figured, now it's their time to disappoint me, apparently, is what, yeah.
That's Johnny Steele. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on County Road G16 at Rancher Road, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. And in Salinas, on the southbound 101, just south of Baranda Road, there is a dog in the road. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, on southbound 1, just south of Bay Avenue, we have a bicyclist cycling northbound on the right shoulder. And in Hollister-Gilroy, we have two collisions. The first one is on Meridian Drive at Monte Carlo Drive, and on Union Road at Somerset Road, we have a two-vehicle collision involving a school bus filled with children. We also have a traffic hazard in Hollister-Gilroy on Maple Avenue at Foothill Avenue. A semi-truck is parked in the middle of the road there. CHP is on the way. That's your traffic on AM 540. Have a fantastic afternoon, everyone, and stay with the Peter B. Cullen Show.
We've got a hot discussion going here about Israel and Palestine. You can join in. I've got lines open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We had a guest scheduled for 10 minutes from now. We pushed that back till about a little after 45 minutes past the hour. So there's room for you to get in and comment, and don't hold back. If you don't agree with me, I want you to let me know that. This is not a one-way deal, and by the way, I don't consider myself a godlike figure. Billy, you have any comment on Tara's remarks?
No, you know, I don't know what to believe about anything anymore. You know, I thought she made good remarks. How true they all are, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, I want to comment on something that your earlier guest said. She said, "How can we fight Israel?" She was sharing something she'd heard, when we fight among ourselves, the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
My reaction was, "Well, stop fighting." How about that? How about, like, realize, well, yeah, instead of fighting among ourselves, maybe we shouldn't be fighting anybody at all. You see, what we, you know, it's like somebody said to me, well, you think it's right for Israel to have done that? Do I think it's right? Right? Are you kidding me? Right left 100 years ago. Right left 50 years ago. When Israel was born, the same year I was born, in 1948. Was that right? I don't know. But was it right when they didn't accept the facts on the ground and they kept making wars against them? All these Arabs, you talk about respect. I'm not sure I respect Arabs as a group. In fact, I'm sure I don't. I know that in Saudi Arabia, how they treat people.
But Billy, I got to stop you there, because just as not all Israeli citizens are Jewish, not all Israeli citizens support the programs of the State of Israel, just like not all Americans supported Bush, we've got to understand that many of the Palestinians who are locked down in Gaza don't support Hamas.
Yeah,
they're trying to get away from it. This family that I read in the New York Times and told you about, they were following the guidance of the Israeli Defense Forces. They despise Hamas. They were trying to get out of the way, and some 20 members of the family were killed.
Yeah.
So, war is hell. And, you know, I'm not trying to overly demonize Israel over this. I am trying to draw attention in a way that you won't get from the corporate media to the parts of this story that don't get properly covered. And that's what I see my role as, not to sit here and say Fatah's always right, Hamas is always right, screw Israel. No, I am trying to make sense of a very complex and, from every perspective, an irrational situation. Here's Richard in Eureka. Go, Richard.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Interesting conversation. Look, all right, let me start off with a little point here, all right, that my father-in-law, a retired Army colonel, several tours in Vietnam, he always says, look, when you're taking fire, you just point your gun and you shoot back. You don't worry about what's in the way. You kill who's trying to kill you, all right? And Billy made a great point, but I'm going to try and make it better, all right?
Okay, you got a minute. Go ahead.
All right. Basically, these people are calling for the destruction of Israel. What do? All right. Say you're in the street. Somebody comes up to you and says, I'm going to kill you. All right. Do you turn around and walk away, or do you try to kill them first?
Well, you have to separate politically charged rhetoric and talking points
but
and negotiating positions.
That's reality, all right? People want to destroy the State of Israel. All right, and
I agree
with you on one thing.
Rockets are real.
They are overreacting. They should have sent in ground troops from the beginning and gone house to house. But what about the people that live in the area, all right? They see these people firing rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they know? I mean, you know.
Well, let me. I only have time to talk about one of your points, and that is that Israel has gone in, identified members of Hamas, and summarily executed them.
Well,
I don't support that.
They're trying to destroy Israel. They want to kill people. It doesn't matter how many deaths have occurred from a rocket.
Okay, I got to take a break, gentlemen. We'll continue in a moment. Billy, you stay with us. We got more callers on the line, and we'll take them as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum on duty taking your calls today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The 111th Congress convenes. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. What a time to be in Washington, D.C. The political lines used to be so clear. Democrats taxing and spending, Republicans refunding and cutting, or at least threatening to cut. But now, well, Mr. Obama's right. There's no red America and no blue America. There's red America, there's deep red America, then there's blue America, light blue America, blue dog America. Everything is on the table. And the usual restraints? What restraints? It's whatever you think will work. Not whatever will work but is affordable, just whatever will work. For now, anyway. And the deficit? Forget about it. As of this morning, the deficit for the last 12 months, that's the total amount of money the federal government actually spent minus the amount it collected in taxes. In other words, the overdraft. That number is $1,489,000,000,000. That's about a $5,000 overdraft for every man, woman, and child in the country. Whether the man and woman will have to pay it back, I don't know, depends on your age, but the child eventually will. So get them ready. And yet there are opportunities for the budget cutters as well, assuming there are any left. This is a chance for all those non-government solutions we hear so much about. The corporations who think they can do things more efficiently. The churches who can take care of human needs better than the government. This is their chance to step forward and do it. In the meantime, a tense middle class awaits. Although we do have a hint about how people plan to ride out the recession. Those converter box coupons for people who don't have digital TV have already run out. A lot of Oprah. Now this.
No one knows what women want better than New York Times best-selling author Fern Michaels. Her best-selling Sisterhood series is no exception. These savvy ladies always entertain as they find the most unusual ways to exact sweet revenge. Now you can celebrate the sisterhood all year long with five new Fern Michaels novels of women at their take-no-prisoners best. Final Justice, Fern Michaels' new sisterhood novel, is on sale now. No one does payback quite like the sisterhood.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, Media Matters has examined a copy of Ann Coulter's new book, Guilty. Some highlights of the book's numerous falsehoods include her defense of the discredited Swift Boat Veterans for Truth attack ads against Senator John Kerry in 2004, and her assertion that Fox News has, quote, never been caught promoting a fraud. Coulter also claimed that President-elect Barack Obama, along with other, quote, half-black celebrities like Halle Berry and Alicia Keys, race-baited their way to success. As she explained, Berry, Keys, and Obama identified with their black fathers who abandoned them and insulted the woman who struggled to raise them. Despite Coulter's long history of incendiary commentary, numerous media outlets have allowed her to promote her books on network and cable news programs. While it appears NBC has canceled an upcoming appearance, according to Coulter's website, she will appear on CBS's The Early Show. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. And coming up about 15 minutes away, Dan Weiss will join us from the Center for American Progress. We're going to talk about the various bailouts and stimulus packages being discussed in Washington right now. That's coming up. But we continue our conversation about the conflict between Israel and Palestine and Israel's military actions in the Gaza Strip. Take a listen to this. It was written in the mid-1980s. It's called Armageddon Days Are Here Again.
Drives across the blue direct sky, moving in from the east towards the west, with battle cry of helmets over the east. Yes. Do you think that Jesus Christ is coming? Honey, you got another thing coming. If the Elamite is out, who's hijacked his name? They cut out his heart, they tune in his grave.
It's quite a song. It's by a group from Britain called The. And Matt Johnson was the guy who wrote that song. We continue now with our friend Billy Sunshine, who takes exception to some of the remarks from me and guests about the current conflict there in Gaza. And we've stirred up quite a few callers here. Billy, before we take another call, did you want to add anything else?
Just that I accept the fact that Israel has lost its soul, but I guess that's a better trade when they're asking for its life. Hmm. You know, better you give up your soul than give up your life.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I want you to understand, and I think you do, but I say that you plural,
yeah,
that I find all this very painful. And I believe that Israel has a right to exist. I believe that there's an important role in the region and worldwide and the legacy of the Holocaust. I understand all of those issues, and I don't downplay them or trivialize them. My concern is that the United States has tilted under Bush into just a pro-war, pro-occupation machine.
Yeah.
And I'm against the occupation. I'm against the use of this kind of military might against civilian populations. But I do not, overlook or downplay that there are risks to Israel and that they're real. They have to be dealt with. Go ahead.
What we're not talking about is the larger thing that also bothers me, and that is the Jew-hating that is going on like crazy. I just saw two good movies. One was called The Other Zionist, which is about all the Jews who are, you know, actually defending the Palestinians, like the lady you had on earlier.
Yeah.
Another one was called Kike Like Me.
Mm.
And at one point he found himself in France talking to these young Arabs, and they were sharing with the fact that, oh, you're Jewish, well then you'll screw us the very first chance you get. There's an incredible wave of anti-Semitism that's still going around the world, having nothing to do with Israel, although people like to use that as an excuse.
Well,
and we haven't ever dealt with that.
Okay, well, I will stipulate to that point that there is anti-Jewish racism, and there
nobody
is...
Nobody talks about it. It's acceptable,
But sometimes, just like the guy who's been named senator from Illinois is being supported by people who say this is now a race issue, sometimes I find that those who support Israel inject anti-Semitism in a false way.
Oh, absolutely. And what I'm saying is that because the anti-Semitism is so very present, and the Holocaust, for me, is so very present, I'm, you know, it's like you're not paranoid if they're really out to get you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Billy, one other thing.
The situation we find ourselves in.
One other thing that I want to mention is that when Bush made his secret trip to Baghdad and that journalist threw his shoes at him, what I was reminded of is the powerful exhibit at the Holocaust Museum in Washington. It is a room full of shoes of those who were dispatched in those concentration camps. And so, you know, I just hope you understand that the way I see my role here,
I get you, Peter,
is to try to balance the corporate media in this country and to try to bring out the voices who are silenced.
There
in,
is no balance, though.
Zone.
The entire left is anti-Israel.
No. Jan Schakowsky, the congresswoman from Illinois, I have a high regard for her, but she bugged the hell out of me when she tried to get Congress to pass a resolution banning Maliki, our puppet from Baghdad, from speaking before the Congress because he wouldn't renounce Hamas and Hezbollah.
Oh, please.
And so there are plenty of progressives who are good on other issues who I find, off the deep end about Israel. Let's go to Dave in Monterey. Hello, Dave. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Well, hi. I just wanted to say that the researcher, writer, that James Bamford, he just recently has a book out.
Yeah, he's been on our show, and it's called The Shadow Factory.
Right, and he was interviewed by Amy Goodman in October, and he talked about how when AT&T and Verizon went along with Bush, well, they hired two companies to do all the computer work, to do all the spy work. Both companies are from Israel. Both companies have Israeli intelligence people on the board of directors. It should tie that in with Amdocs and everything else. We live in a scary situation. I think that's what bothers people about Israel. I mean, the way I feel, poor Jewish people are just as much a victim of it as anybody else.
Well, Dave, I want to amplify the point you just made before you go on.
Yeah.
I don't know why people, do you think I'm going to cut you off or something? Just take your time. Well, the point I wanted to make is that those two Israeli companies that you pointed out also have installed back doors in the surveillance systems that they set up to examine our emails, to examine our phone calls. And it was discovered in Australia that one of these Israeli companies used information that it was able to access through these back doors in the software and hardware they create in a way that was against the interests of the United States and Australia. And so I share your concern about that, and I think Bamford's book is one of the most important that's been published because it really details the amount that is known publicly about the illegal wiretapping program. That's something we're going to talk about next hour. Go ahead, Dave, to your other point.
Oh, my other point was the apparent apartheid system in Israel. You know, a lot of this, isolated incidents.
There's no apartheid
kind of
in Israel.
We're talking about hundreds of homesteaders throwing rocks at Palestinians and kicking them around. It's like, man, this is a democracy.
Dave, Billy interjected a point. I don't know if you heard it, but I do agree with him. I don't believe that apartheid is something that is appropriate to talk about people who live in the state of Israel. I do think that apartheid, as Jimmy Carter used it, is an applicable term to what's going on in Gaza and the West Bank. Just one example from Anna Balzer's book is that there are two sets of roads in the West Bank. And the roads that the Palestinians are allowed to use suck. They're full of potholes. And the Israelis have these super highways that only they're allowed to use. That's just a very graphic depiction of the two standards there that occur in that country.
And don't you imagine that'll change as soon as they stop having war with each other?
I would hope so, yeah.
I mean, inevitably, it won't be perfect, but it'll be, once they begin to actually make political solutions, they'll get a lousy deal at first, and then it'll get better and better, and, you know, eventually, somehow, those people will find a way to live together if they stop killing each other and forcing your children to have to hate each other.
Well, that's the basic problem. Inside of Israel, the government is in charge. They do not have to allow the homesteaders to do this.
You only have problems in Israel.
Say
something about the Palestinians now.
The Israeli government allows
exactly.
the homesteaders to do it.
Exactly.
That's it, right there, buddy.
Go well, one way, my friend.
Well, but, Billy, you know, it's
they're
not necessarily balanced.
They're the adult. It's inside Israel. They
all
allow
right.
it to happen.
Dave, thank you very much. Let me take one more call here at least. It's Dora in Scotts Valley. Welcome, Dora. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Thank you for having this show so much. Yeah, it's really been heartbreaking hear Billy speak. I can tell he has so much pain about this issue, and I'm also Jewish, and I've had similar discussions with a lot of my friends and relatives. And most recently, one of my cousins who it seemed like we started out on opposite sides because she was defending Israel's right to pretty much do whatever it wanted to Gazans, and I was saying that it just seemed to me like a literal case of overkill. And then after we discussed it a while, we realized that both of us are heartbroken about what's happening with Israel, both of us and in Palestine. I mean, both of us realize that all the Palestinian factions and all the Israeli governments to date are now riddled with corruption. They're now, there are so many hate mongers and bigots on both sides as a result of all this conflict. And we both just really hope for peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to see the U.S. really take a good role as a broker. It is true. I think this is an issue that, you know, a lot of people, to me, it reminds me a lot of how you have a lot of times people have a kind of laid-in attitude about, I don't know what, I guess abortion is another issue that just causes a lot of,
right.
yeah, a similar yeah. kind of issue. And I, you know, to my mind, I don't know what Billy Sunshine normally reads of, but, I mean, I've read a lot of things in the press about anti-Semitism being on the rise or about how it's not really fair to hold Israel to different standards. But I've also seen a way lot more that seems to be excusing Israel, and I think it's partly because whenever you have a nation, an actual nation with its own military, do something to protect its, you know, its people, that naturally most other nations, they might call for a ceasefire, but they're still going to stand up and want a nation to have the right to use its military for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear your points. Billy, a comment?
No, it's like she was very clear, and I share her, and as you do, you know, we are all heartsick over this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little, you know, more upset with the people who, you know, keep having chances to end it and refuse to. As she says, they're all corrupt. And she's right.
Yeah, and that is sad. Dora, thank you very much. I want to squeeze in one more call. It's Susan in SoCal. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi.
Hi,
yeah, I have, you know, feelings much like Billy and you. I share both feelings. The thing is that this was so manipulated from the outside by political forces all along. The Palestinians didn't even get the help they needed when it all started as a state. The other Arab states wouldn't even help them. So it's not been brought about by Israel. I think it's been brought about by a lot of forces that are beyond repair at this moment, but not forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many wonderful people and people I know personally who cross those boundaries every day and make peace in Israel, who are working for peace. It is very, very possible. I think we just need to get out of this supporting of the, you know, the military complex just continually fosters, you know, arms sales around the world and all kinds of clashes. It's to their advantage.
And I think you have a very strong point there that what we really need to do is try to forge some sort of a ceasefire.
That's right.
And then we have to, you know, find ways to bring these parties together. It isn't easy. I mean, Bill Clinton can tell you just how hard it can be.
But it
doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying.
But Sue is so right about what she talks about. Look at the other Arab states around who've used this issue, who are fabulously wealthy, and who have,
yes.
you know, endless amounts of land, and they will help these people only to kill Jews.
Billy.
That's the only help they get.
All right. Thank you very much. Susan, I've got to run. I'm way late here. Billy, thank you for calling in today and provoking this. We'll talk again real soon. And Nancy from Winters wants everybody to read Michael Lerner's commentary. You can find it at religiondispatches.org. And we've invited the Tikkun leader, Rabbi Michael Lerner, on the program later this week. We'll schedule it as soon as we can. We'll take a break and return with Dan Weiss from the Center for American Progress here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Santa Cruz, we currently have a mud, dirt, or rock slide on Soquel San Jose Road at Soquel Creek Road. Dirt is blocking the southbound lane. Otherwise, traffic is looking pretty good out there. It's smooth sailing this afternoon, so enjoy your commute. In weather, it's partly cloudy right now with temperature highs in the 50s and lows in the 40s. Wednesday will be partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Sunset is at 5:07 tonight. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
The $64,000 question.
I've got a word or two to say about the things that you do.
Hi, it's Bob Oliver with the Quantum Leap and the $64,000 question. Where do you go to get a free checking account, no minimum balance, and they give you free money? And the answer is Wachovia Bank in the Sand Dollar Shopping Center in Sand City across from Borders. Wow, I got a lot of advertising in there. Remember, you're going to get money, free money, just by mentioning my name, Bob Oliver, at Wachovia Bank. Free money, free checking, and no minimum balance. Think for yourself. The Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Space, the final frontier. Knowing the truth, the ultimate frontier. Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. They've got a free delivery special Peter B. package. Just log on to ecowine.com/Peter B. Daniel J. Weiss returns to our program today. He's a senior fellow and director of climate strategy at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Spent years, like 16 years, with the Sierra Club and other environmental organizations. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
I wanted to get the latest thoughts about the stimulus or bailout packages that are being discussed in Washington right now. The president-elect held meetings with top leaders on the Hill on Monday. And they're tossing around different numbers about the size of a stimulus package. They're trying to bring Republicans on board by promising that a good portion of it will be in tax cuts. That's the catnip or the crack that they just can't resist. And still, it seems a little bit amorphous about, you know, where they want to aim the stimulus and to what extent it will produce the 2.5 million jobs that Obama has set as a goal in his first 2 years in office.
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot is still in flux, but I understand that President-elect Obama will be giving a speech on this coming up on Thursday. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a lot about the how he's going to make up this stimulus package. It's important to note that even if tax cuts are a major part of the stimulus package, they will be primarily going to middle and low income people and small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Bush tax cuts, which benefited rich people, or McCain's proposal, which would have, for instance, given a $1 billion a year tax cut to ExxonMobil.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the kind of entities that are going to be benefiting from Obama's tax program for the most part.
Well, and I understand that. I'm certainly not opposed to it. I think the middle class deserves some relief. The problem I see is that we're running huge deficits, and the real thing that we need to develop is jobs. We've lost millions of jobs in the past year alone, and there are more losses looming with the slowdown that's very evident from all of the economic statistics. And your focus is on climate change, and you and I have talked before. I believe that a very positive route forward is to invest in infrastructure and job creation related to the green economy. That's the win-win scenario that I see going forward from here.
You're absolutely right, Peter, and I think from what I understand, the stimulus package will have significant investment in clean energy programs that will create clean energy jobs. Now, whether that's $50 billion or $100 billion or $150 billion, I don't think anyone knows right now, but it will be significant. And, you know, as you know, we've done a study called Green Recovery that found that $100 billion investment in clean energy policies would create 2 million new jobs in this country.
And for me, anyway, I had such a lousy year in 2008 that I'm not going to be paying a lot of tax on April 15th of 2009. And I, while many wage earners may be in a slightly different position, I'm self-employed, I think that, again, what we need to do is stimulate the entire economy. My concern is that tax cuts and rebates really pass through very quickly, and there isn't the long-term impact of building new factories, retooling old ones, and really shifting our economy from the resource extraction and expenditure to a much more sustainable approach for the future.
Well, it's important to note that even if the tax package is about 40% of the stimulus package, which is what has been publicly reported, that's about $300 billion, which would leave another $400 to $450 billion for direct investments.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put that in perspective, that is about triple the amount that we spent on the rebates, tax rebates, earlier this in 2008.
Yeah.
So that's a very hefty investment, and it would lead to a lot of job creation.
Mm-hmm. And what do you see here that may not have been reported or something that you're hoping for? And this is kind of an open-ended question for you, Dan. But, we've had a lot of discussion, and Paul Krugman and other economists have weighed in on, you know, what they think will work in terms of really producing a stimulus. But, I believe until we deal with the troubled mortgages and really eradicate that virus, until we get the bottom of the housing market identified, that a lot of these efforts will not really hit the mark as intended.
Well, I can't comment on whether how to address the mortgage problem. That's really not a field that I've spent any time with. But I will tell you this. If we can get people back to work, fixing roads, fixing bridges, making buildings, federal buildings more energy efficient, rehabilitating schools and making them more energy efficient, that will put money in the hands of American workers, and then that will allow those who may be on the edge of mortgage difficulties may find a way out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I don't know about you, but I just feel that the money that's been thrown at the banks and Wall Street, there doesn't seem to be a plan behind it. And even the professor who's been in charge, put in charge of the oversight, says she can't make any sense out of it. So I'd really like to see us, while I do realize we're in a deep crisis and we do need to act quickly, I think we have to do it in a methodical way that has the long-term benefits we need, because I don't think the short-term efforts will have the desired effect.
Well, I think that you're right, Peter. I don't believe that the investments into the banks and the loans that they provided has created the liquidity or the money that then people are beginning to loan to get the economy started again. So I think that's going to be an issue that the next administration is going to have to address, since the current one has basically failed to do its job in so many ways, and this is just yet another one.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thank you for your expertise. Great to have you joining us today.
Thank you very much. Remember, there's just 2 weeks to go, and then help arrives.
Thank you for that hopeful note.
Take care.
I appreciate it. Daniel J. Wise from the Center for American Progress. We'll take a break and return. Attorney John Eisenberg will join us next. That lawsuit based here in San Francisco regarding an Islamic charity who they were wiretapped and they have proof. Well, there's a new lease on life for that lawsuit, and we'll tell you about it. Also coming up next hour, Ray McGovern, 27 years at the CIA. He'll tell us his reaction to the nomination of Leon Panetta to be the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency. That's coming up next hour. You can share a podcast of any part of this program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. And for all of those of you who helped us stay on the air, you've got my gratitude.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We are obviously having some technical difficulties with the network. Let's do this and rejoin in just a moment.
You know, new research shows there's an increased risk of heart disease for people with gum disease. Heart disease is the number one cause of death in the
CBS News has learned Senate Democrats are now rethinking Burris' rejection. Where last week Democrats bluntly said Burris will not be seated, period, they are now hinting they might consider seating Burris if Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is impeached by the state legislature.
And several Senate Democrats say it wouldn't hurt if Burris agrees not to run for a full term next year. The other question mark, as the Senate convened today, was over the Minnesota seat. Democrat Al Franken has been certified the winner, but Republican Norm Coleman refuses to concede and will challenge the outcome in court. At the UN, an appeal from Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas.
Put an end to the massacre of my people. Let my people live and let my people be free.
Heard through an interpreter, he appealed to the Security Council to stop Israel's assault on the Gaza Strip. The offensive continued today with tragic consequences when a U.N. school was hit. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports from Tel Aviv.
The Israelis say they don't have all the facts, but were responding to mortar fire from a school where civilians had taken cover. As many as 40 Palestinians were killed. A U.N. official says 350 people were taking shelter at the school, and the U.N. had given the Israeli army coordinates to keep the facility safe. Israel insists it's trying to avoid civilian casualties, and the U.N. was aware, it says, that militants were firing at Israeli troops from that location.
President-elect Obama refuses to make any policy pronouncements on the crisis, but did say today that he's deeply concerned by the civilian casualties on both sides. This economic mess is especially hard on older Americans who've seen their investments erode and the equity in their homes evaporate. In a survey of Americans 45 and older, AARP found many people struggling to make ends meet.
One in four people who were retired saying that they were either looking for a job or thinking about returning to work.
David Serkner, AARP's legislative policy director, says many people are still working or planning to postpone their retirement. Even millionaires are feeling the pinch. 55% of wealthy households surveyed by a consulting firm said they're concerned that they won't have the assets to maintain their lifestyles and only 36% said they were pleased with their financial advisors. Today on Wall Street, some gains. The Dow Industrials up 62 points to close above 9,000 again. The Nasdaq gained 24 to close at 1652. This is CBS News.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-4970. You don't have to declare bankruptcy. Credit Answers represents the highest standards in the industry. We've already helped thousands of people like you save millions of dollars. Just give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help you live better, debt-free. Call for this valuable free information at 1-800-400-4970. That's 1-800-400-4970. 1-800-400-4970.
Last fall, when a Chicago window factory abruptly shut down, laid-off workers staged a sit-in until they got severance benefits. Now, as Chicago's WBBM Radio's Bob Roberts reports, there's a new wrinkle in the story.
The United Electrical Workers Union wants the National Labor Relations Board to order the return of window-making equipment hastily stripped from the Republic Windows plant just before the shutdown was announced.
We are not going away quietly at all. We will keep fighting.
14-year Republic employee Ron Bender and the union say they feel lied to because the same managers now use the equipment to build windows under a different name in Iowa.
His unemployment is not good, man.
The union says return of the equipment could attract a buyer who would reopen the plant and says it has several nibbles. Bob Roberts, CBS News, Chicago.
Federal regulators have proposed a $65,000 fine against Exelon Nuclear, which operates the Peach Bottom nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania. An investigation in 2007 found that security guards routinely slept on the job. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized the contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code MONEY to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, MONEY, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code MONEY. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, Ray McGovern returns to talk about the nomination of Leon Panetta as Director of Central Intelligence. But first, a very interesting break in the efforts to find out the extent of illegal spying on American citizens during the Bush-Cheney years. And it just frosts me when I hear media spokesdogs refer to it as warrantless wiretapping. Nope, illegal is the word. Although it's an open question, the Democrats may have legalized it with the passage of the so-called FISA reform last summer. When the Bushies started it, it was flatly illegal and not simply warrantless. John Eisenberg is an attorney based in Oakland, California, who has been handling the case of a defunct Islamic charity that was based in Oregon. And we've covered this story and talked to John on many occasions over the last couple of years. We thought that the lawsuit may have been dead because of the way the Bush administration has maneuvered to use the state secret privilege, which is not a law, but just a precedent that the courts have been accepting on a wider basis since 9/11. And in that, the Bush administration tried to block any effort to determine the extent of the wiretapping, and in particular, whether the clients of John Eisenberg were illegally wiretapped. John, welcome back to our program.
Thanks. It's good to be back on your show, Peter.
Well, it's nice to talk with you again, and I'm pleased that there's a little positive progress here. Vaughn Walker is the federal district judge who is presiding over the case, and it appeared that he reluctantly felt that you were at a dead end, until you were able to find some public documentation that showed that, in fact, your clients were illegally tapped or surveilled.
Yes, when Judge Walker ruled last summer that we would only be permitted to go forward if we could come up with some sort of preliminary proof in the unclassified record that our clients were surveilled, we were written off, and that annoyed me a little bit.
Yeah.
I knew we weren't dead. The people on my team knew that we weren't dead. We just had to do what Judge Walker asked us to do.
Well, and just to add a little background, we have some new listeners in Boston who may be joining this this movie in progress. One of the catch-22s was that you were temporarily in possession of FBI documents that firmly showed that your clients had been illegally, the calls and communications were illegally intercepted. But you were not permitted to use that because they grabbed it back from you and said, oh, state secret privilege, you're out of luck.
Yes, we were in possession of a classified document that the government gave to our clients by mistake back in 2004, which we believe demonstrates that our clients were victims of the president's illegal, not just warrantless, but illegal surveillance program. We gave the court our copy of the document nearly 3 years ago. And for the past 3 years, we have been fighting with the government over the question whether we will be permitted to use the document to establish that our clients were in fact surveilled. And in the language of lawyers, whether they had standing to challenge the program.
Mm-hmm.
The clients in this case are not just the defunct charity, but also two of its lawyers based in Washington, D.C., who we allege were wiretapped under the program.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been battling over access to this document for nearly 3 years. And this was not just slight progress in the case. So Judge Walker's ruling yesterday was a very big deal.
When do you get to suit up for your security clearance, John?
Well, I don't know. The next step is we ask the government how we proceed to apply for these security clearances. And I imagine we'll know by the end of the week. The judge has ordered the government to process their applications by February 13th.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm very trustworthy. I've kept some important secrets in this case for 3 years. I see no reason why we shouldn't be given security clearances.
I think this is great, and it shows, I read it anyway, as an implication that Judge Walker believes that you have a substantive case, and he wants to give you your day in court.
Well, Judge Walker is certainly very disturbed about the strategy that the Bush administration has adopted to handling this case. Basically, their strategy has been to tell the judge, you have no power to do anything in this case. Just as we have the power to disregard Congress through FISA's, the FISA Act in the name of national security, we also have the power to disregard the judiciary, so you really can't tell us what to do. And I must tell you that it is never a good idea to tell a federal district court judge that he or she lacks power to do what he or she wishes to do. And I believe this judge wishes to address the merits of this case, the question whether the president has power to disregard an act of Congress in the name of national security. That's what this case is all about. That's why we are litigating this case, to address that issue.
And what is the public document that you were able to come up with that demonstrated that the government acknowledged spying on your clients?
Well, there was more than one. There was actually a series of public disclosures, much of it in congressional testimony, concerning the nature of the program itself and the investigation of Al Haramain in particular back in 2004. One of the key public documents was the text of a speech that a deputy director of the FBI, a man named John Pistoli, gave to a convention of bankers last fall. During the course of the speech, he thanked the bankers for their cooperation in the global war on terror to the extent of giving, turning over financial records. And he mentioned the Al Haramain case in particular, and he said, yes, we used surveillance against Al Haramain, but it was the documents you provided that helped us get the case started. Now, I read this online earlier this year. Well, I guess it would be the end of last year now, wouldn't it be? This is 2009. The end of 2008, and I was stunned because when the case was before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals last fall, the government argued that it's a state secret whether anybody is surveilled under any program, and it would endanger national security for the government to admit any sort of surveillance at any time. And now we have the deputy director of the FBI actually bragging about it in a speech posted on the FBI's website. So that was pretty important little piece of evidence there. It wasn't everything. It wasn't a smoking gun, but it's an important part of what we showed. We, what we did is we used a series of public disclosures by the government in combination with written declarations. It's the equivalent of testimony by our two lawyer clients in the case as to when they had certain telephone conversations and what they discussed in those telephone conversations. And by putting all this evidence together and presenting the evidence to Judge Walker, we were able to convince the judge that there was a substantial probability, shall I say, that the government did indeed wiretap our clients on certain dates.
Now, did anybody get Judge Walker a copy of Jim Bamford's book, The Shadow Factory?
Not me, but I certainly read it. It's a really fascinating book.
Oh, and chilling. And it is so chilling to see the extent to which they can track voices. Once they data mine a call and match a voice to it, they can match that voice from, you know, out of thousands, if not tens of thousands of voices that they have on file. The extent of this, and what's breathtaking about Bamford's book is that's all out in the public domain.
Yeah.
That's non-classified information, and it's chilling just to try to speculate what is classified and goes even deeper than what has been publicly acknowledged or forced out to date.
Well, it's easy to be paranoid about this sort of stuff, especially when you're involved in litigation like this. And, you know, there's some dispute as to who originally said this. I like to attribute it to Paul Krasner. But just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just because you're paranoid doesn't necessarily mean they're not wiretapping you.
Yeah.
So, Peter, you and I are probably being listened to other than over the radio.
No, it's Benny. We named him. His name is Benny, and I really feel sorry for him.
Oh, it must be terribly boring.
He's at Fort Meade with headphones on and has to listen to this, you know, lefty jerk every day.
if they're really listening in on my calls, they're hearing all about my parents and my brother and my mother-in-law, and it must be awful.
Yeah.
It's bad enough for me to be living it, actually.
So, John, next you will apply for a security clearance, and presumably the judge will order certain documents shared with you. You won't be able to tell me about those. But in broad terms, what do you hope they will show you, and how would it be valuable in the case?
Well, at this point, the next step in the litigation is for the judge to look at the document and determine, in conjunction with written arguments we present, whether or not our clients were subjected to surveillance. We, on the Al Haramain legal team, believe that will be a pretty simple question to answer. Once we get past that, we will finally litigate the issue whether the warrantless wiretapping program is lawful. And that will implicate the broader issue, the question of what Dick Cheney calls the unitary executive,
mm-hmm.
which is whether or not the president has the power to disregard Congress in any context in the name of national security. And that implicates torture, extraordinary rendition, presidential signing statements, all the signature abuses of the Bush administration.
Yeah. Well, I really hope you will take this as far as they permit you, because I feel that the only way to avoid this happening again or stopping it from happening now, I am under no illusions that, just like you, that we're not currently being surveilled on a massive basis. But we need to put a stop to this. We need to regularize these things under the law, and we need to restore the full Fourth Amendment rights that we enjoyed up until the Bush administration decided you don't really need them anymore.
Yes, and on this day, 2 weeks before the inauguration of President-elect Obama, I'll just say that at this point, I have hope.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
We'll talk again, and keep me posted on developments,
okay.
Will you?
Thanks for having me.
John Eisenberg, attorney from Oakland, California, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. After the break, if I remember, I'll tell you a story that John told us about how he had to go in and write a legal brief guessing what his response would be to the government's brief because they wouldn't let him see the government's brief. Bizarre. And we'll open up the phones in the next segment. You can comment on any issue in the news. Call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And you can grab a book because we purged the Peter B. Collins Bush-bashing bookshelf during the holidays. And I want to share the load with you. 888-5-PETER-B.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Traffic is looking really great this evening. I'm checking the boards and everything is looking clear and problem-free, so have a great commute. In weather, tonight will be partly cloudy and we'll have some patchy fog through the night. Temperatures will go into the lower 40s. Wednesday will be partly cloudy with patchy fog in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Highs will be in the low 60s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a safe commute and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show with a shout-out to our late-night, all-night listeners in San Francisco on Green 960. Well, the song says it's 2 a.m. And if you're listening on Green 960, it's actually about 24 minutes after. But at this time of the night, who cares, right? And if it's any consolation, the voice coming out of your radio box is sound asleep right now. But that's only if you're listening in the middle of the night. If it's about 5:24 in the afternoon, he's awake and the program is live. And if I've confused you, I apologize. I'm Peter B. And one of the things we're doing until we run out is passing out books, because over the holidays I took a couple of hours and I went through painstakingly in the Peter B. Bush bashing bookshelf, and I pulled out the titles that I don't feel I need going forward. Now, I held on to important ones, but for example, here's one, How a Few Grand Ideas Wrecked American Power. It's called Daydream Believers by Fred Kaplan. Many of the pages are bent back from when I read the book for the interview. There are a couple of sticky notes here. This one I didn't mark up with an ink pen too much, but many of them I do. So these are used books. And if you call into the Peter B. Collins Show, get on the air and make a comment and say, I want a book, we'll send you one. And I'll even give you a couple of choices from the stack here to my left. So you can do it now or any time during the month of January until we run out of books. 888-5, Peter B. is our number. I promised to tell you a quick story about John Eisenberg that he related to us a few months back. It was Kafka-esque. He was told that he could write a brief in response to briefs filed by the U.S. Justice Department, but that he could not see the Justice Department briefs in order to write a response. That's right. The charges by our government trying to dismiss this whole case that he brought were kept secret from the attorney for the plaintiffs. And so he dutifully went to the federal building in San Francisco, was assigned a minder and a computer, and he wrote out a series of responses to a brief that he could only imagine. That's the level of quote-unquote justice that we have been reduced to under Bush Co. And I'm hopeful Obama named some really great people to the Justice Department. David Ogden, Tom Perelli, Elena Kagan, the dean of the Harvard Law School where he went, will become the first female solicitor general. This woman from Indiana is very powerful and outspoken about the illegal actions of the Bush administration. And we'll talk about Leon Panetta in the next segment. But we haven't seen that Obama is willing to go to the mat and really hold people accountable as criminals for the law-breaking that has occurred over these last 7 years. I hope that'll change, and we'll keep the pressure on as much as we can, but at this point, not so optimistic about that. I want to single out Bob Herbert for praise. He writes op-eds for the New York Times, and his thoughtful piece in Tuesday's Times takes on an issue that you've heard me foaming at the mouth about. What the hell does Barack Obama think he's doing, promising to put more troops into Afghanistan without a clear mission, without an exit strategy, without a government there that we can support, without an indigenous civilian population that would relate to an expanded American occupation? And I want to give Herbert a lot of credit. He quotes Andrew Bacevich, who was a guest on this program a few months ago. He teaches at Boston University. And a couple of others. He says, the chief effect of military operations in Afghanistan so far has been to push radical Islamists across the Pakistani border. As a result, efforts to stabilize Afghanistan are contributing to the destabilization of Pakistan with potentially devastating implications. Bacevich goes on, no country poses a greater potential threat to U.S. national security than Pakistan. To risk the stability of that nuclear-armed state in the vain hope of salvaging Afghanistan would be a terrible mistake. Well, that's certainly how I feel. We'll get Professor Bacevich back on the program soon to talk about that a little more.
It is useless to resist us.
We'll take a break and return. Ray McGovern served at the CIA for, I think, 27 years. He was the guy who gave Reagan his daily briefing. He'll weigh in about Leon Panetta as the next CIA director, right here on the PBC show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
We all know the economy's experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader, Rinaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer.
The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And we are live on our flagship radio station, KRXA 540, licensed to Carmel Valley, California, the home of the next Director of Central Intelligence, former Congressman Leon Panetta. Hello, Leon.
I know what matters to you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
And joining me to talk about the Panetta appointment is a man who's become a regular contributor and a powerful voice for change and for peace here on the Peter B. Collins Show, Ray McGovern. He served over 25 years at the Central Intelligence Agency. He was the guy who gave Ronald Reagan his daily briefing back in the 1980s. And he's a co-founder of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And he fought the insanity of the Bush use of the intelligence organs during the last 7.5, almost 8 years now. Ray McGovern, welcome back to our program today.
Thank you, Peter B.
And how surprised were you? I kept noticing that Obama and the transition team had not announced the spooks, and I kept saying, something's up there.
Yeah.
Either there's an ugly surprise where it's going to be another holdover like Bob Gates, or he has a strategic reason for delaying the announcement of the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, and the job he's appointed Leon Panetta to, Director of Central Intelligence.
Peter B., great minds from the same channels here. I allowed myself to be optimistic that his delay in naming these two key posts, or men for these posts, was due to his realization that this was really, really a difficult puzzle here, that he had to pick men that would be appropriate for the circumstances. And when I say circumstances, I mean that the Central Intelligence Agency had been thoroughly corrupted, both in its analytic division, where the managers had saluted Tenet when he told them to manufacture intelligence so that Congress could be deceived into approving a totally unnecessary war. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that, Peter B.,
yeah.
And that's what we watched. As for the operational side, I mean, what could be worse? Tenet saluting smartly when George Bush told him on the evening of 9/11, I don't care what the international lawyers say, we're going to kick some ass, quote, end quote. How do I know that? Richard Clark was there. He wrote it in his book,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So Tenet went off, found some folks that could do some torture, came back to the president and said, okay, Mr. President, I have about 12 people left over from Vietnam. But, of course, they'd like you to sign this this authorization.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to this whole thing, Peter B., because the president looked at this, he's going to authorize torture. So he says, Alberto, get Gonzalez in here, okay? Gonzalez comes in, he sits down. Yes, Mr. President. And the president says, can I do this? Can I sign this? Well, Mr. President, can you give me a day? Because I'd like to look into that. So he goes and trots off to David Addington, the vice president's lawyer. And he says, can we have the president sign something like this? And Addington says, Alberto, you came to the right place. I got a memo all ready for you. A couple days later, they serve it up to the president. Colin Powell learns of it, protests in a very meek way by having his lawyer talk to the White House lawyers,
And before you know it, on the 7th of February, 2002, the president issues an executive order saying we don't have to abide by Geneva, we don't have to abide by the War Crimes Act of 1996, passed by a Republican-dominated Congress, by the way. Go ahead, we're going to treat these people, the phrase was, quote, humanely as appropriate. Mm-hmm. And as consistent with military necessity. That's not what Geneva said. That's not what the War Crimes Act said. And yet a lot of people saluted, and that's why the torture started, the rendition, the putting people in black holes and not telling their wives or their children, much less the Red Cross. That's where it all started. And so these people need to be held accountable, but first they need to be given jobs in the various libraries of the intelligence agencies around town and removed from their positions.
Ray McGovern with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Ray, officially the Panetta nomination has not been announced, but it leaked and probably surprised some people at the agency who thought they would be the first to know. But I thought what was interesting is the Monday announcements were about the Office of Legal Counsel, Dawn Johnson, being appointed there. And she was a sharp critic of John Yoo and Jay Bybee and the tortured legal memoranda that came to justify torture from that office. He has appointed Panetta, who's outspoken against torture and abuses of that nature. And he has picked his former alma mater's dean, Elena Kagan, to be Solicitor General. And from what I know about all of these nominees, they are all opposed to the torture regime that was imposed during the Bush years.
And have been outspoken in their opposition. These people are the real deal, Peter B. You know, I was beginning to wonder when Gates was allowed to stay on and a couple of the other appointments, Hillary Clinton, I'm not a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the real deal. These are the people who are going to be cleaning up the Justice Department, which is as much in need of cleaning up as the CIA. And when you talk about these two very talented women, I mean, not only are they very talented and proven, but they're women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's essential because I dare say that if there were real women in the circle around George Bush, women who have children, let's say, women who know what it's like to lose a child, I'll tell you, the decision to go capriciously off to war will be a much more difficult one. They'd have to ask the women to please step out of the room, please, you know? That's
mm-hmm.
the kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a real balance here, not only in judicial acumen, but also in the human function here of that women do lend a special quality to these deliberations.
And Ray, the way you've just defined that tends to exclude Condoleezza Rice. And I find that accurate and amusing at the same time, because we know from one of the books that's been published, I think this one is in Jane Mayer's, but I could be wrong, that she was moved to tears, not over the torture policy, but because Don Rumsfeld refused to attend meetings to discuss the torture policy.
And she never told her boss, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish it were funny. It's just downright. I mean, what her spokesman, do you remember when those poor souls in Guantanamo committed suicide?
Yeah.
And what did her spokesman say? Well, this is a clever ploy.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the tools of the terrorists, you know, to give us a bad name. Give me a break, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll be very very glad to see Condoleezza Rice go. You know, it's... did you know the Arabs have a new definition for the word Condoleezza?
No.
Yeah. It means perpetual motion, flying back and forth without achieving anything.
Well, just one of my favorite Rice-isms is she's very fond of a construct, which is to say something is not inconsequential.
Right.
Okay? The role of the Iraqis stepping up to defend their country is not inconsequential. And when you take that apart, what it really means is that it's just a little more than nothing. Right? It's not inconsequential. It's, just almost right there.
Someone would ask her. She probably would have trouble explaining it.
Yeah. Now, Ray, we got to talk the inside-outside thing. And as I heard the reaction coming out over the last 24 hours, there are people who say, oh, the agency can only be properly managed by somebody who's come up through the ranks and knows the culture and all the secrets and all that. And then there are those who say, well, you can only clean up the agency by bringing in an outsider. And really the history of the agency under both types of direction or directors is mixed. But it parallels the conversation that often occurs when a major city replaces a police chief. And there's this push, well, we got to bring in somebody from the outside who's not afraid to bust heads and bust rank and really clean up the department. And then because of institutional factors and bureaucracy and all that stuff, it often reverts to some insider who gets promoted to replace the outsider who fails. So as somebody who was inside for a long time and has become an outside critic, how do you see Leon Panetta navigating those shoals in Langley?
Well, for Leon Panetta, it is a distinct advantage to be an outsider. There is no disadvantage to not knowing how to run an agent or how to surveil a spy in Baghdad. What you need, and what the president said today, is what you need is integrity. You need managerial competence, and as the last person to balance the budget and give us a surplus, I think Leon Panetta deserves that kind of accolade.
Mm-hmm.
Peter B., I served under 9 directors of Central Intelligence, starting with John McCone under President Kennedy. McCone replaced Alan Dulles after the Bay of Pigs. And right up until, William Webster, who succeeded Casey.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had a lot of familiarity with the others. And the best ones were people from the outside. John McCone, industry, a businessman, knew nothing about intelligence, but he did know a lot about leadership. He knew a lot about management, and he whipped that agency into shape. And he respected the analysts. He duly went to President Kennedy and said, my analysts think that the Soviets would never dare to put missiles in Cuba. So this is the estimate I'm giving you, but I also have to tell you, Mr. President, I think they're going to do it. And guess who was right?
Hmm.
John McCone was right.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is he had the presence of mind to serve up the best judgment of the collective, so to speak, and speak his own mind. And Stansfield Turner, again, somebody from the outside, he, of course, was a naval admiral. And he told me a story. One time I was waiting to go on some talk show with him, and I said, Stan, how did you manage to get the authority to run the intelligence community as well as the agency? Because I watched him do that. I was working right for him. And he said, well, Ray, it's kind of an interesting story. I learned while I was commanding the 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean that the president was going to call me and he was going to ask me if I'd be his intelligence director and that the call would be coming in another minute. He said, now, Ray, in those circumstances, you only have 1 minute to make it better, okay? And so what I did was when the president called and asked, I said, sir, I would be happy to do that, but I have one misgiving. And he said, well, what's that? As a naval commander or as a military person, I'm averse. I have an allergy to accepting responsibility without authority. You know what I mean, Mr. President-elect. What I mean is that this intelligence community is unmanageable unless there's a president that makes it very clear, reads the Riot Act to all these very disparate agencies and says, look, Admiral Turner is my principal intelligence advisor. He's responsible for coordinating all this. You will share whatever information he needs with his analysts. Would you do that? Within a week, the president issued an executive order saying precisely that. And when it didn't happen, I watched Turner go down to the White House and say, Mr. President, you need to call the Attorney General, please, because the FBI is not sharing information with us. Now, that took guts. That took a guy who was, had already made his name for himself, didn't need the job, didn't care about knocking noses out of joint, didn't think he had to be, quote, part of the team, end quote, and so it worked. That's what you need. You don't
well,
need
and, to... and Ray, that fits Leon Panetta. My only misgivings about him are that he has advanced skills in consensus building and conciliation. And I don't know if that's the perfect fit for this job at this time.
Well,
but there's just no doubt that he's a man of great principle. He's been outspoken against the excesses that you and I have shared a lot of time talking about. And I do believe that he will execute the intent of the president in rebuilding, restructuring, and reorienting our intelligence community. So I on balance, I'm pleased by this. I'm glad it's not Steve Kappas, Dianne Feinstein's favored one. And I think that this could be, you know, a very important break from the past that will help us achieve the kind of change that Obama campaigned on.
Exactly. And I agree with all you've just said. Yeah, you know, with respect to Dianne Feinstein.
Let's talk about that after the break, because
okay, sure.
I want to go into that in some detail. We'll take a phone call, too. Ray McGovern is our guest here at the Peter B. Collins Show. There's room for your comment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead right here.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on the northbound 101 at Highway 68, we have a traffic hazard. Plywood is blocking the slow lanes. Jumping up to Santa Cruz on Graham Road at Lockwood Lane, there is a dog in the road and the owner is trying to get him. And in Hollister-Gilroy on Highway 152, mile marker 2, there is a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. The collision is in the middle of the road, possibly blocking both westbound and eastbound lanes. Traffic is slowing, so use caution there. Weather tonight will be mostly clear, then becoming partly cloudy with patchy fog. Lows will be in the 40s. Here are some temperatures. Right now, Monterey is 48 degrees, Salinas is 54 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 52 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We get some support from our listeners. If you'd like to help, log on to my website at peterbcollins.com and click on the link. You can help. We have an exciting book offer. Check it out. You could walk away with a copy of the Najik Pheromone. All the details there at peterbcollins.com. 8 minutes in front of the hour, we continue our conversation with Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And I understand Ray was on the PBS NewsHour Tuesday evening. Is that right, Ray?
That's correct, yeah. I was on there with Michael Scheuer, taking a very different tack when I did.
Michael's a very interesting guy. He always calls me Mister and sirs me to death. But I find him a very interesting figure, and I often disagree with him as well. And I'm glad that your voice was heard on the NewsHour, and if my TiVo cooperates, I'll be able to watch it when I get home. Yesterday it whiffed on the NewsHour and gave me that awful David Schuster show on MSNBC. But anyway, I hope to see it. And did they give you some time to express yourself?
We had 9 minutes, and there's never enough time, but I think it was very clear how differently we look at the world.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is a big fan of renditions. And,
yes, he is.
And torture light.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to say all the things that I meant to say, but I did point out my favorite quotation from the head of Army Intelligence, namely that, and this is a quote from Lieutenant General Kim in September of 2006, quote, "No good intelligence is going to come from abusive practices. I think history tells us that. I think the empirical evidence of the last 5 years, hard years, tell us that, period," end quote. That's a gutsy general, because he knew that in 2 hours the President of the United States was going to get up across the Potomac and defend his practices of torture and ask the Congress to approve them, which the Congress did.
Leon Panetta's from Carmel Valley, and so is John. He's on the line right now. John, welcome. You're on with Ray McGovern.
Hi, John.
Hi. I'd like to ask both of you, why do you think Panetta wants this job?
I'm not sure he does. I don't think that Leon Panetta can say no to an offer to serve in a capacity like this. I really consider it part of his makeup. And I've known Leon since he was a member of Congress. I first met him back in the 1980s. And he's a solid guy. He's a principled man. He's focused. When he took on the budget problems at the end of Bush 1, he was very dedicated to that and came up with some really good bipartisan solutions. And, you know, he was on the Iraq study group, and I was just so happy that it wasn't Lee Hamilton.
Good.
That guy's been on too many commissions and made mush out of the truth far too often.
You can say that again.
Ray, what's your comment on why Panetta would take
it? All. I think he's a patriot. I mean, there are such things still.
Yeah.
And I think he deeply cares. He wants Obama to succeed. And so he's coming out of a semi-retirement, as I understand it, running this foundation, and well-rested, just a year older than I am, and he's ready to give a couple more years, and I really applaud him for that, because this is not going to be any fun.
John, thank you very much. And, Ray, this email came in during the last break. Missed the show today, says this writer, but hope you're on Dianne Feinstein and the incredibly appropriate dismissal of any need for her input on who should run the CIA. With her record of Bush support, she should be sidelined. Ditto, Jay Rock. He's referring to Jay Rockefeller.
Yeah, well, he's right about that. I mean, Feinstein is one of the people who gave us Mukasey, right?
Yep.
And she approved the FISA law?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
she was racing to legalize the law-breaking of the Bush administration without investigation.
And now she's just sort of slipping back on torture, saying, well, maybe the Army interrogation manual, maybe we can improve on that. She is really a disaster. And sure, she wanted Stephen Kapp as well, because she knows that Stephen has stuff in his closet. And
some of that same stuff is in her closet.
Yeah, exactly. So they would be kindred souls. Now, with Panetta, Panetta's got the kind of what the Germans call Format. You know, he's a man. He's a self-made man, and he's not going to take any grief from Dianne Feinstein, since he's close to Obama.
I think it's going to be a very interesting confirmation hearing, because Feinstein can only go so far in expressing her pique. And, I cannot imagine a scenario where she would vote against confirming Leon Panetta.
Nor can I.
She can throw a hissy fit all she wants. But
I think he'll have easy going.
Well, I hope you're right. There have been predictions otherwise, mostly from those insiders who didn't want an outsider. Here's Joanne in McKinleyville listening on KGOE. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne. Ian Ray McGovern. I just want to thank you for having Ray McGovern on. I didn't know what to think of Leon Panetta, but I so admire Ray McGovern and what he's had to say over the past couple of years that I've been listening to him and following him. I feel really, really reassured. Thank you very much.
Okay, Joanne. Uh-huh.
Thanks, Joanne. Let me just point out that this is not just me, as usual, it's not just me speaking. We have this little group of veteran intelligence professionals for sanity. I surveyed them today, and it was virtually unanimous that Panetta is an excellent pick. And that, you know, that goes for analysts, it goes for operators in the CIA, it goes for DIA, it goes for NSA. Alumni that care about these things are virtually unanimous in saying, wow, this is great, a breath of fresh air. We're going to clean up this act. We can get back on track.
And in 30 seconds, what do you say about Admiral Dennis Blair as head of DNI? That's the intelligence chief overall.
Yeah. I get mixed reviews, again, from my colleagues on that. Blair apparently is a fairly good strategic planner. On the other hand, you know, he was commander of our forces in the Pacific when those Indonesian generals wreaked havoc on the indigenous there in East Timor, massacres and everything else. He was ordered to dissuade them, and he did just the opposite, gave them to believe that everything was okay. So he's a man to be watched.
Yeah, well, we'll keep an eye on that one. And, Ray, thank you very much. Keep that cancer in remission, and thanks for your words today.
Thank you, Peter B.
Talk to you again real soon. That's Ray McGovern.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Roland Burris, the man appointed by Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich to fill Barack Obama's Senate seat, was turned away on Capitol Hill today.
I presented my credentials to the Secretary of the Senate and advised that my credentials were not in order and I would not be accepted, nor would I be seated, nor would I be permitted on the floor.
But he might not want to leave town just yet. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports.
The ground is shifting just a bit for Roland Burris. The Senate leadership, which last week said he would not be seated, period, has shifted gears somewhat, saying that might change if he gets a certification from the Illinois Secretary of State. And also that it might make a difference if Governor Rod Blagojevich is impeached by the state legislature, which could happen this week.
Senator Dianne Feinstein, who chairs the Rules Committee, says she now believes that Blagojevich had the power to make the appointment. In the UN Security Council this evening, debate over the crisis in Gaza.
Do not allow for the killing of one more Palestinian child.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas heard through an interpreter. Israeli Ambassador Gabriela Shalev argued that the assault in Gaza is the only way to stop the rocket attacks on her country.
Hamas has no interest in making peace with the enemy. For Hamas, peace is the enemy.
Diplomatic efforts may be making headway. Egypt and France have proposed a ceasefire plan that's been endorsed by the United States, and the Israelis say they're taking it very, very seriously. President-elect Obama knows he'll have to make some tough budget choices in the years ahead.
We're already looking at a $1 trillion budget deficit, or close to a $1 trillion budget deficit. And that potentially we've got $1 trillion deficits for years to come.
Mr. Obama and congressional leaders are working up an economic stimulus package that would mean even more red ink. He plans a speech Thursday to lay out the details. CBS News has learned that Mr. Obama has offered the job of U.S. Surgeon General to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, the neurosurgeon who reports on health for CNN and CBS News. It's not known whether he's decided to accept. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush has gotten public encouragement from his father and brother for a Senate run next year, but today he ruled it out, saying it's not the right time to return to elected office.